Why do we cook? We cook for food, for family, and for friends. We cook to bring people together.
Mmm, honey, that looks good. Pardon my fork.
Hello and welcome to another Pardon My Fork. This is Andy, and we are here in the beautiful Bannock home. Don't laugh, Mark. Kim and Mark Bannock are here with me today, as well as the lovely Corian, as always.
Hello.
And Kim, everybody knows you, but you are the 2017 Seafood World Champion.
I am. Thank you very much. And thank you for having me back.
We're doing it again.
Yep.
And Mark, you're not cooking with Kim this year. You're actually doing your, not your own thing, but you're cooking in burger.
I got conned into a contest last year. I won the grandpa challenge. And so this year I will be competing against my lovely wife in the burger category.
Not exactly against, right? I mean,
no, it's a twofer, right?
Right.
Yeah. Doubles the chances.
Yeah, alongside.
Double the chances. Mm-hmm, well, you'll be competing against us and our head chef, Suzanne DePlantis, in burger.
That's right.
But of course, you'll make top 10. We'll make top 10. She'll make top 10. Everybody beats top 10.
Top 10. And we're all just like, yeah.
Thinking positive.
That's right. That's right. And so we're recording this a little bit ahead of time. As the listeners hear it, you guys will be hearing it 4 days before we get there. Mm-hmm. But as of right now, we just finished doing, well, your cooks, your top 10 dish, because, I mean, hey, you need to.
You got
to
practice.
Exactly. You're going to the top 10. So we just kind of have to roll with it in that way.
So yeah, you have to practice. I mean, you always think ahead. I mean, that you are going to be in the top 10. You come prepared with a recipe because they're going to require a recipe at the very end. And I can't imagine being at the very end and having to create a recipe with only a day or two. Right. And then you have to present it. So you have to come prepared.
That's very stressful because you're running off the high and the excitement of making it to the top 10, but then it's 8 o'clock at night and you have to go to the store. You have to think about your recipes. You have to practice and know, okay, what can be done in X amount of time. There's a signature ingredient that you have to highlight and then get your recipe submitted by midnight?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Because you do. You have to go ahead and the recipe is not just ingredients. It's step by step. So you have to let the World Food Championship know everything about your top 10 dish. And so you don't, I mean, it's not something you want to wait till the very last minute. You know what the signature ingredient is. And for seafood, it is the caviar. That beautiful caviar. So practicing with a dish that includes all those components that love caviar. Mm-hmm. So that's what we've been focusing on.
And you'll have to remind me, World Food Championships, there's a signature dish. Is that what they call it? The one where everybody has to do it?
There's the mandatory required dish is the first dish. And then the signature dish. That's in the first round.
Oh, so your signature dish. Right. That's the one where it's supposed to be kind of a reflection of yourself.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the first round.
And so what's the mandatory dish in seafood?
So the required dish in seafood is a grilled oyster, a southwestern grilled oyster. And so we've taken that and we've added our own spin to that. And we're adding some charbroiled grilled chilies. And that's kind of our little secret. So, but you know what? It's to come. So everybody has to have their recipes done already. So it's not like I'm not telling a big secret.
Right.
But yeah, so we've got this wonderful grilled oyster that has a nice little bechamel on it, crispy topping, a nice tomato caper salsa on the top. That's our first dish.
Now, the dish that you're making is sponsored by...
Yes. So, we have a product that is being sponsored by Haas Sauce and also Salts of the Seven Seas.
So that's right. That salt.
Yes, the salt, the smoke salt.
And it brings an amazing flavor to several components in the dish.
Yes. Salts of the Seven Seas was a gift that my daughter gave me years ago. And she had given me this applewood smoked salt in a jar with a bunch of other salts. And so I'd been using them over the last couple of years. And then all of a sudden I was running low and I just was like, I need to have these. And so I got a hold of the company and they were so gracious to not only provide us with the applewood smoked salt, but also some salts for Mark's dish in his burger category. So pretty awesome.
So I think at this point we are ready to move on to you, Mark.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my.
Oh, yeah.
I'm gonna grill you for some pun intended. Grill you for some info since we're competitors here.
That's right.
Now the required mandatory dish is cowboy burger, right?
Cowboy burger, yes.
Cowboy, yep.
And they describe that as something to be a burger, something with a barbecue sauce and some onion strings or onion rings, cheese. Something to that effect, and cheese.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See, so, I've always been a fan of the onion straws over the onion rings on a burger personally.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of different directions you can go with that. So like the requirements, the barbecue sauce, of the fried onion of some kind, and then your barbecue sauce. That really leaves the door wide open. I mean, it's a lot like the oyster in that, you know, the sky is kind of the limit. You can do anything with an oyster.
Right.
Obviously, there are certain layers. There are certain things that you want to do. You can go completely overboard. The last time we had you on the show, we talked about that a little bit, how you had a dish. I think it was your first time competing at the WFC, or was it your second?
Probably the Oysters Rockefeller.
The Oysters Rockefeller,
The Oysters Rockefeller. I just wanted to make Oysters Rockefeller the best dish Oyster Rockefeller ever. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to go crazy. I didn't want to do anything new or too out of the box.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I brought Oysters Rockefeller and it scored really well.
You had a dish where you kind of went out of the box.
Yeah.
And remind us which that one
okay,
was.
Okay. So in probably 2016,
mm-hmm. Into the mic, Kim.
Yeah. We did a shrimp scampi soup dumpling.
Yes.
It was supposed to be shrimp scampi. That was the dish. And we did a shrimp scampi soup dumpling. And when the judges got it, they said, well, this is not a shrimp scampi because that was the dish. It was supposed to be shrimp scampi. And so, needless to say, I actually ran into one of the judges at the very end and he even said to me, you know, I had to ask myself, is this really shrimp scampi?
Mm-hmm.
Even though it was creative, it was out of the box. That was my first real test of and learning lesson of don't go too far out of the box, because the required ingredient was, or the required dish was shrimp scampi. And I had made a shrimp scampi soup dumpling. So, I learned.
I think a lot of people realize that too late, by the way, but they're at the WFC, they make whatever their dish is and it's become too technical.
Yes, absolutely. And you take it too far out of the box. And I don't think there's anything wrong with being creative and having it being something elevated. We want to elevate our dishes, make them different than other dishes. But if it's not recognizable or if it's not what the World Food Championship is asking for, mm-hmm. I think that's where we can get into trouble.
Right.
You know, cooking with you today and practicing these dishes, we were always talking about, okay, when we're there, this is the environment we have. This is the tools we have, the resources, the brand of grill or mixer that we have. So how is this going to play out? When you're grilling and charring peppers, there's a big difference between doing it on a gas stove, doing it on the bowl grill.
Yeah.
So we have to be keeping in mind what resources are we going to have there.
Yes.
And also, there's a difference between making a really technical dish with a really hard to get special ingredient or something that takes a really long time to prepare.
Right.
And can you replicate that there? Because we're going to be in Dallas, Texas,
right,
with the stores they have there. And also there's a time component.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you know, how are you going to be able to get certain unique specialized and we've tools
been working,
there?
We've been working at the time constraint. I mean, you're just, you know, trying to get this all done within the time frame and trying to keep it so it's not overcomplicated. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, just having all the components there, mm-hmm. and have it be simple, mm-hmm. but yet flavorful, mm-hmm. and get it done.
Right.
And, you know, you're keeping in mind, you have to bring your own extra bowls, yep. Yep. extra pans, extra utensils, knives, cutting boards, all your seasonings, everything. They're yes. only going to provide...
unopened, ready to go.
Yeah. And they're providing shucked oysters for the grilled oyster dish,
yes.
which, yes. praise the Lord, yes. they are going to be shucked and ready to go. Because oh, I think both goodness. Mark and I have experienced oh, shucking oysters,
yes.
and our fingers can tell the tales of how successful that was.
Yes.
Mark, you shucked them the 1 year that you guys needed to shuck oysters. Well, you got oysters not realizing that they had to be shucked, right?
Correct. They did tell us that, and I would had no idea how to do that because we had been practicing with oysters that we had gotten at the Oregon coast that were already shucked. So it's like, wow, what do we do? Well, a friend of mine says, you know, YouTube, watch some YouTube videos. Mm-hmm. So I actually did watch two separate ones, and I think I only mm-hmm. struggled on one the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And that day.
That no. day. And what was funny is I'm the sous chef, Kim's the head chef, and I'm the only guy that ends up on the Channel 12 news that night
in on some Florida, local on some television local show yeah. in Orange Beach. Yeah. Yep. That was pretty cool.
And then for the burger category, the required ingredient is Bo's Burgers.
Yes.
And everybody knows Bo, mm-hmm. the football player.
And Bo knows.
Bo knows.
Mm-hmm.
Bo knows if you can't taste his burgers, Bo won't be happy.
And we were talking about that today, actually. It's kind of a difficult thing to think about because it's like you want to, of course, elevate everything that you can, but people need to know that it is a burger at that base.
Right.
And so, you know, what are you going to add in? You've got 20% that you can mix in to do, you know, different flavors or bring an extra component. You know, I thought a little bit about, hey, what about like some pre-sauteed veggies to bring not just that flavor, but like a different texture.
Or some fatty brisket mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. some, yeah, something like that. Yeah.
And I think this year in the mandatory round, it's a little unique. Normally the dish was the mandatory thing you did. 1 year it was a Juicy Lucy, 1 year it was cheeseburger, whatever. But this year the meat is also being
part
provided,
of the
so
cowboy
you don't
dish.
Really have mm-hmm. that
yeah.
Ability to go too far out of the box. So everybody's on a level playing field, you know, seriously this year.
Yeah.
I've constrained it down.
Yes.
Definitely.
I've had the advantage of the last 3 years being a chefferie and seeing almost every dish created in the whole thing because I worked every shift except for when I was cooking with Kim. That and having the ability to go behind the tent and see the judges mm-hmm. and kind of pick their brain.
And be certified as
and a certified eat
methodology.
Judge.
But yeah. mm-hmm.
it's like, I think last year, not even before I even won the contest, I saw these huge burgers coming in with, you know, a 6-inch steak knife holding them in, some of them falling over, helping people, you know, get them back in there. And it was, I asked the judge, I said, how do you judge these? And he's, well, it's pretty difficult. Sometimes I cut a piece out. Sometimes I just mash it all together.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, in the end, this is not a condiment contest. This is a burger.
Right.
And if all I'm eating is condiment, you know, it might look good. The execution was there, but I'm going to grade you down on taste and execution.
It's so
big
hard, man,
point.
Because yeah. you're like, how do you balance that? You know, you're yeah. adding things to it, but yeah. you want to make sure that it's not taking away from that most central component. It's really not any different from seafood. It's like
not. You can overdo seafood. You could layers and layers upon layers, and even in seafood, and not be able to have the dish that you think maybe is too much.
Sure.
But just like a burger, I mean, you know, it's like here we are competing against each other. He's in burger, I'm in seafood. But burger, you could layer, 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 and put that knife in the top, and it would be too much. and I've got seafood. Do I do seafood, and all this other stuff? You got this, you know, all these different components. So yeah, trying to keep everything simple and focusing on what the goal is of what category you're in.
It's always difficult too, because looking at seafood, you know, the caviar,
yes,
that is a punch of flavor.
Oh my
Those
goodness.
Little teeny tiny eggs are just packed. It can easily overwhelm a dish, and you want it to be complimentary, not overwhelming.
Right.
And it's that way. And I know that they do it that way on purpose to test you as a cook, but you really have to, if people that don't go to the World Food Championships, or who have never done a competition in this way, they have a hard time understanding what exactly you go through when you're looking at the dishes that you have to create, because you're highlighting those components.
Mark and I are both EAT certified judges. I took the class last year, and you're a certified judge. So let's break down what they're being judged on. The first thing is appearance. So they're presented with a plate, and there's a center dish that's more for visual appeal. And then everybody gets their own individual servings.
Right.
And there's a small bite, a small plate, and you get one bite. Mm-hmm. This is not they eat the whole sandwich. They eat the whole pie. Get one bite. So you have to make sure that it's a bite that they can fit in their mouth, that they don't have to add anything to it. This is not a judging where they're going to pile this on
condiments,
and squeeze that on.
Yeah.
No, they're not adding anything
sauces,
into it.
Yeah.
You need one bite and you're done. There's going to be flavor, execution.
Appearance.
Yeah.
The appearance. We talk about the appearance once in a while, because they're supposed to just judge on the appearance, and then that's not supposed to impact the flavor judging. But you know it does.
Because we all eat with our eyes.
We all eat with our eyes.
But 15% is appearance. So we have to keep that in mind. If you spend so much of your time on garnish and embellishments, you could use that time more wisely to add layers of flavor into your dish.
Right.
Considering half a point can sometimes separate first place and second place, losing 15 points, you're out.
I mean, a lot of people put a lot of effort into appearance and putting their presentation together with certain trays, certain plates, certain all kinds of things. But when it gets to the point where your tray is only so big and you have to put all of your plates on there, there's not much left to put. There's not a lot of room left. So I just look at it as though as just make each plate more important. And so that each judge, when they look at their dish, is going to look at that and say, okay, this is what I'm looking at. This is what I'm judging.
Right.
Well, last year too, and watching every dish that comes up as a chefery at the turn-in table, you see a lot of the dots and the swooshes. There was even somebody that had a look like smoked thing under a glass, you know, so it comes out and stuff like this. And yeah, it looks really cool. But again, people like us, we're just home cooks. We don't have all those fancy things and don't do them every day. Now, I did work when I first retired. I worked with the two sous chefs that are going to be with me. They have their own restaurants and stuff. And we started a food truck called the Patty Wagon, and all it was hamburgers. And, you know, we didn't
I get it. Patty Wagon. Yeah, I get it.
The Patty Wagon.
And we didn't have time to do the swoosh, and, you know, you're giving them a nice, greasy, wrapped burger, and it was plain and simple, and that's what they liked. And so, that's
but
what I'm doing this year.
But it grew,
Again, I'm just a home cook. I don't have all that fancy stuff. As long as they can, you know, in fact, one of the best burgers outside of the people I'm going to be working with is at the Willamette Valley Vineyards. And it's their Willamette burger. And it's just a good,
it's a Wagyu
juicy
burger
with some arugula and some cheese and a special sauce. And it's like, oh man, you know, I want five bites versus, you know, the one bite type of thing. So,
and the judges can't go back in for a second bite. You have to look.
Yeah, they're not supposed to. I'm sure some of them.
Sure you do.
Take yeah. a couple well, chomps. Maybe.
So maybe. I think it's really helpful that everybody on this team, everyone here in the room has done judging or chefering or yep. grew up in a kitchen. It does bring a lot of skills. So we have some friends that are chefs, and when they competed last year, they made a journey through or multiple different ways of something. And
yeah, a tour around.
So it gets to the judge, well, which bite do they choose?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to put any negative
don't
thoughts.
Don't make it too complicated.
Mm-hmm. And the more you put on there, then like we were talking when we were practicing, if you have that tour, well, every little component better be executed real well. If you have a tuna thing and then you have some sushi roll over here, this, that, and the other, well, and it's a combo plate, well, two out of three isn't really that good. You better mm-hmm. be hitting on all right. cylinders.
Right, okay. right. It's so much more difficult to make three dishes perfect than one.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that can, well, not just can, that has bit people that we've talked to last year at the WFC. Yeah. We talked to a bunch of people that said that. You know, they went a little too hard and it bit them. There's so many different moving components with this thing. You never really realize how difficult it is until you get into it.
Even if when it comes to the garnishes, I mean, even if you're doing different aspects of a dish and you want to be able to bring different flavors. So it's not just one component of your dish. I mean, seafood. So if I had one seafood component, but I want to bring other flavors, it's, you have to think about that. How am I going to bring that to the dish to where the judge is going to taste this and see all of this mm-hmm. in one bite?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're the guy that won 4 or 5 years ago with the carrot cake. You know, you're in dessert. Yeah. Maybe it's a little bit easier. I mean, all you're making, not to cut it down to his bare bones, you're making a cake.
He's made his favorite carrot cake.
It's a great, you know, as long as the frosting is good and the filling is good and the... It's a soft center, you know, it's a good deal, but sometimes I think seafood might be a little bit more difficult because you have a lot of moving parts versus making a sandwich or making a cherry pie or whatever, but.
Last year's dessert champ, Greg, I'm so sorry, Greg, you're going to listen to this and I forget your last name. I'm really sorry, man, but I know when I had you on the show, he was talking about how he, for his final dish or the top 10 round, he just remade what he had made in the first round because he knew it was a hit. He knew it was a winner. He knew that they were making it better than they'd ever made it before. And he just said, I'm just going to make it again because at this point, it's one of the best things being turned in right now.
And the judges are different.
Right, exactly. Right.
Yeah, and we did that. We did that in 2017. We took our Alabama Crawfish Tie Bowl and we turned that in for our top 10 dish.
Mm-hmm.
And we were being filmed for that at the same time. So that was being filmed by a film crew that was later put on to the Travel Channel and Best in Food show. But
then we used it again in the finals.
And we did use it in the finals. And so at that point, the finale was not like it is now. So we brought our final dish. We did the same thing. And and I used local Louisiana crawfish at that point. So I was so happy. I mean, I was satisfied with the dish. Nothing, I would change nothing with the dish.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the whole competition goes and how it all plays out, you know, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So. Mm-hmm. It's okay.
Have you guys ever been to Dallas before, which is where it's being hosted this year?
I used to live in Dallas.
Yeah.
Right across the street from Love Field
mm-hmm.
on the corner of Lemon Avenue and something. The Dr. Pepper plant was on, Love Field was on the right-hand side. The Dr. Pepper plant was on the left side. Funny, it was called Lemon Avenue because in those days, if you went, I think, east, there was 10 to 12 car lots. All lined up in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And me and my brother made little tiny homemade shoeshine kits. Mm-hmm. And every day after school, we'd walk up and down every one of those, except for one, our friend Jack Tadlock. I don't think he'll be listening. he got the Lincoln Mercury dealership, which was only had like five guys in it. And we hit every other one. And we used to shine shoes for 50 cents.
Nice.
Wow. And so I've been up and down Lemon Avenue many, many times.
Are you looking forward to going back?
In a way, yes. In a way, no. I'm just don't like change.
Yes.
At Orange Beach, Alabama, you knew where everything was
yeah,
at.
It was nice.
Mike McLeod, I'm sorry. I'm just not sure about this hotel business. You know, I'm going to have to take my dirty dishes back and wash them in the bathtub because there's not going to, you know, we don't have a kitchenette in there versus mm-hmm. where yeah. before you had a little bit more availability options. And yeah. options. But we are close, so.
And the president's yes. going to be in Dallas on Thursday.
He's
going to
throw us a loop.
Yep.
Yeah.
The traffic's going to be nuts.
I had a dream the other night, or maybe as a thought. It's like, well, he heard about this, and so he stopped and came over to the World Food Championships to taste some food. So
wouldn't that be awesome?
That would be crazy.
That would be the best kept secret. Top 10 dish judged by the president.
Whose dish is he going to taste? Okay.
Well, that, you know, it's all American.
It is.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Yeah. That cowboy burger. I mean, doesn't get much more American than that.
Right.
That's true.
Mm.
That's true.
Yeah, we'll see how that whole thing goes. I do wonder because, you know, Dallas really should be kind of a food mecca by this point. Like, I feel like you shouldn't be left wanting, trying to find the ingredients that you want, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, I'm kind of with you because in Orange Beach, I mean, you want to talk about fresh and local.
Oh, yeah.
It was
amazing. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you that in doing cooking demos at the Walmart, at the neighborhood Walmart off of Murray Boulevard in Beaverton, I ran across this gentleman who has been painting one of the Walmart, going around and painting local Walmarts. Hmm. And he said, oh, I'm from Dallas. And just let you know, Dallas is this food mecca. I mean, he's just like, you're going to everything from Tex-Mex to Indian food to everything that you think you're going to want. He said, it's all going to be there. And I will say that as soon as he said Indian food, okay, this is my second dish. I'm giving you a secret here. I was like, oh, what kind of judges am I going to have?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm bringing an Indian dish for my signature dish.
And it's delicious. Just throwing that out there.
Spicy. It's delicious. I know.
The judges aren't just always local.
Well, no, but they're not always local. But you know what? But I'm expecting that there may be some people who have their flavor.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
They know their flavor. And so it's okay. Bring it on. Mm-hmm. I want some judges.
So Dallas should be fun. I'll pack my shorts. I'll pack my spatulas. I'll pack the gold bond powder, you know. So
I know we're coming from Oregon to Texas.
When we were in Orange Beach last year, it was hot and sticky, real hot and sticky.
Oh yeah, that day where it rained really bad, mm-hmm. didn't it?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, there was a lot of big swings. There was a storm that came through.
Mm-hmm. I really loved it though.
It was like, beautiful.
I thrive in that kind of weather. I don't know why, because I'm fat, but like my complexion clears up when it's hot and muggy like that. I just love it. I don't know why.
Awesome.
Well, at least they had it paved like, that year. The yeah, year two, the first year it had rained a little bit, and they had tons of straw down. It wasn't so bad, but you know, you're cooking away. And you're kind of standing in puddles, and then you're kind of looking around like, there's a lot of electrical cables right here. There might be more than fried food going on.
Well, now this year we're inside the Hyatt down by Love Field.
Right.
So are we outside or inside?
We're outside on a field. We are outside.
Under
a tent. And yeah, it's still going to be gorgeous. I mean, we're just out there, and I'm hoping, really hoping that the temperatures have gone down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because they've been really high mm-hmm. lately.
Yeah. But it's going to be, I mean, that whole area is so beautiful. And of course, I will be helping out, I believe, Mark Conway in the media row a little bit. He's going to be the MC for the WFC. So you're definitely going to have to tune into that. I'm not actually sure where the WFC radio is going to be going out. Okay. It's going to be able to be heard on Mark's show, Family Meal. And, you know, we're going to have lots of coverage here on Pardon My Fork. But yeah, I'm going to be stepping in for some MC duties for him, probably, you know, a couple hours a day. And so we're really looking forward to that. And it's just going to be like a content-a-thon, you guys.
Oh, it's just gonna be so much going crazy. On.
I keep wondering what the behind the scenes look is gonna be at Dallas. I mean, Mark, you've been a chefery for how many years now?
3 years. This, and if I don't make it in the top 10, I'll help out again this year.
You've got to have some weird stories, man.
Well, the best one, it's a little known secret. I did a video of it. It only got to be posted after we did not get in the top 10 last year because it would have been impropriety. But last year they started off with the golden platter is what you get to win. You get to have your name carved on it. And Mike brought it out, showed it to us. He had this glass case and this pillow that he wanted to display it in there. So he says, hey, can you guys put this in there? Well, the door wouldn't come off and the plate was too big to get in there. But with a little bit of pliers and this, that, and the other, we kind of tore his box apart, got it put together and back in there. And so he displayed it and stuff. And then as we were closing down after one of the events, I said, well, what are you going to do with this thing, Mike? Are you going to leave it out all night? I mean, we had trouble with somebody walking off with some of the pots and pans and stuff. So he goes, can you take care of it? Yeah, and I'm like, he said, but don't tell anybody because it's going to look kind of bad. You got the golden platter, you know. And so I did a couple of spoof videos.
He brought it to the hotel.
I'd get my phone out, and here's the head chefery doing the behind-the-scene duties. I'm kind of incognito, so nobody will see, but I've got to guard the golden platter and this, that, and the other. And then I got, you know, I took it in a pillowcase, so nobody'd see me walking down the street with it. And I walk into the hotel room, and Kim and Rebecca Evans are, what do you got there? Oh, nothing. You know, what do you got there? Oh, nothing. So I put in the pillow, in the bed with me under the pillow, and then they come in there and I'm filming something. What are you doing with it? Mike's going to kill you. So all week long, I'd get up
He's
in the morning.
Sleeping with the...
Covered up. Yeah. Race it down there, put it back in the cover, and at night, take it back to the hotel room. Yeah. But it's like, he's just don't, and I made the little video and sent it to him. I said, well, if I don't win, you know, can I play this? And he said, yes. But so I'm the first person to ever get to take care of the golden platter. So I don't know who's going to take care of it this year, but.
You were the platter babysitter.
Yes. And a great honor, you know, that Mike would trust me with that. I mean, it is 24 karat gold, I think, so.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it's been a nice relationship with Mike over the years. Just coming in one time and saying, hey, you know, you're going to be a chefery and, you know, kind of asking him, hey, can I do this? Can I do that? And he's kind of gives you full rein.
Mm-hmm.
You know, trusts you.
And yeah. At the chagrin of my wife, don't give him a microphone. Don't give the man a microphone.
That's all I say. And you that's know, only from experience.
There's all kinds of spoofs and goofs and things that happens. You know, when we were cooking burgers, when we were warming the grill up, we set it on fire.
Oh, it was after the burgers were done, but I hadn't turned the grill off just in case. But you guys know, with any other gas grill, I mean, sure, the thermostat goes up to 900,
yeah,
but not all grills will get that hot. Very few, as a matter of fact. I think the gas grill that we had, even that infrared one, which was awesome and got hot, it maybe got up to, I don't know, 600 degrees surface temperature. These bull grills will get all the way up to 900 easily, and it caught that cast iron pan on fire.
And yeah, they come running over with the fire extinguishers like they're going to put it out.
Which would have ended our day.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I was like, nope, you get that thing away from me.
And you just blew the fire out.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a... big lungs, hot air, blew it out.
At the risk of my beard and eyebrows.
And eyebrows, yeah. Exactly.
I was dove so underneath protected. That hood and yeah, blew yeah, it out.
A good looking beard.
I know. Yeah.
I forget the name of the fellow that was the chefery that was walking around, but he stopped after I blew it out and I closed the thing and I gave him a thumbs up. He stopped and he looked at me and he was just like, I trust that this guy actually put it out?
Probably Jason Stuckey, the big tall guy.
Yeah.
Jason.
Oh, he was very cool. He came by afterwards and he was like, I can't believe you blew that thing out.
Well, that's not the first fire on a cast iron grill that I remember you've blown out. When we were at Orcas Island and we were broiling pork chops, mm-hmm. and the fat caught on fire in the broiler, and we're trying to figure out how to put it out, and my sister and I are freaking out.
Mm-hmm. And freaking out.
Yeah.
Don't touch it. Don't touch it. Well, I'm not going to touch it. There, it's out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, come on. We're living in this tiny house, and we have not been cooking very much in this little environment here. And so I put our final top 10 dish into the oven. I could kind of see that the smoke was building up in the oven. And all I could say to Mark is, open the windows, mm-hmm. open the windows. This is not going to go good. I can mm-hmm. see it. This is going to happen. And I even warned him, the fire alarm is going to go off. Mm-hmm. So this unawkward fire alarm goes off and it says, fire, fire.
Oh, geez.
So it's like, yep, I knew that was going to happen before you even said it.
Well, then last Saturday we had the fire pit going and yes. you decided to come out and join us at the fire pit.
With the oil burning, with the oil pot on the stove
going, and all of a sudden,
I was practicing another ingredient. I was practicing.
I was practicing
the top 10 dish again. I know.
I'm only out here for a minute.
You don't walk away from your dishes. I know.
You know, other things that can happen is you forget an ingredient back at the house, or you know, there was a team that was across from us last year, and they had forgotten a main ingredient back at the restaurant, and the chef just lost it.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're under so much pressure. And so he sent somebody back to the restaurant to get the ingredient with the blessings of the chefery.
Yeah.
But that was tough. When we were doing our top 10 burger, one of the burgers we dropped. And unfortunately,
It was me. I dropped it. As a matter of fact, that might have even gotten caught on camera. I think it did. But I had the burger out, and I was stupidly, that was my fault. I was holding it away from the pan because I was trying to figure out where I was going to set it. And I bumped into Suzanne and dropped it.
But we had extra. So we got it on the plate and it worked out. But everybody has something.
Yeah.
And you have to have extra. And you have to have confidence and also cushion built into your time.
Absolutely.
Because something always goes wrong.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you didn't know that, I mean, 2017, it's on film that Mark is like, where's the second lime? Mm-hmm. And I'm
it's
like,
in the bag.
There's, it's no, in the it's bag. Not. And yes, then we're like, is. We're doing no. this conversation. It's all on camera. It's all on TV. We're no, there's a second lime. And he's just like, no, I only have one. And there's a camera guy
pointing down
to the floor where it's on the ground. The second lime had rolled off the table on.
I was just going to pick it up, wash it off and keep going.
Oh, yeah.
She's having a heart attack.
I'm like,
it was just
a
zest.
Yeah,
but on film, that's so hard.
With the cameras there, I don't think we're going to pick up a lime off the ground and clean
it,
honey.
And there's always the cut fingers.
Mm, yeah. No.
As a chefery, I always have a package of Band-Aids, liquid Band-Aids, and in case it's really bad, I always carry super glue.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And I've patched up more than one or two people with that.
I think I'm going to bring some nitrile gloves this year because I remember last year dicing up jalapenos and serranos.
Yep. Mm.
My fingernails were burning for like 3 hours.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I could tell you a really amazing story about Simon Majumdar's wife. But
Whose wife?
Simon Majumdar's wife. When she came and she cleaned
a whole bag full
of serranos when she was making dinner for us one night.
Teared up, blistered up.
She had a reaction in her fingers, her arms, to the point where she was actually numb. I mean, to the point it was really bad. And
we had her in water. We're soaking her in milk.
We were soaking her in water.
Slather
it was a little too many serranos that night.
You know, not every pepper is labeled correctly in the grocery store.
Yeah.
I took a class yesterday on chili rellenos, and Loretta that was teaching it, she talked about how she went and bought a whole bunch of peppers that she thought were serranos, mm-hmm. and they were hatch peppers.
Oh my. Ooh.
And she is an experienced, been cooking chilies since she was 5 years old at her mama's knee. But if two peppers that look similar and it's labeled incorrectly by a grocery wow. store attendant that is not well versed, and you can really have a problem.
Yeah.
So I just wonder if serranos and some other kind of chili got mixed up.
I would say that she had a really adverse reaction to all of the casein that was in the peppers. Mm-hmm. Totally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
The capsaicin will really get you.
There you go. Yeah.
So Kim, what do you use as a resource to help when you are building a new recipe?
Okay. So I've shared this with you before.
And I bought it. I love it.
Oh, yeah, we bought
and
one.
So Emily Ellen, my wonderful friend from the Next Food Network star, she's the... Your retro rad mm-hmm. chef and wonderful friend. And she gave Mark and I a book that's called The Flavor Bible.
Flavor Bible.
That's mm-hmm. what I was going to say. I was going to question that, but no, it's not The Flavor Bible. And it is one of my best go-tos. Mm-hmm. So if there's something in particular, if I can pick out one ingredient and then I go to there and I can see what's highlighted in the black, what's highlighted in its, you know, so I can tell exactly what are the flavors that match with it. Mm-hmm. That's what is most important to me. So if I'm looking for oysters and I see that it might be garlic or butter, or I see lobster and I see that it's, or even caviar. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what I go to. I go to the Flavor Bible, and it's because of Emily that I have this wonderful book, and I know she uses it and she tells people about it all the time. Mm-hmm. And so I'm so thankful for her gift many years ago for Christmas as a Christmas gift.
Actually, you know, that reminds me, so that it's on record, by the way, I need to say this. We've already decided what your Christmas gift is. We were going to buy it quite a while ago, but the Little House on the Prairie cookbook.
Yes.
Oh, the Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My goodness.
By Laura Wilder.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, cool. My goodness.
Laura Ann has had so much mm-hmm. fun cooking recipes out of that book. And mm-hmm. since it's so old, it's got a really great...
Yes.
I don't
nostalgia.
Know.
Nostalgia.
Yeah. Yeah. It mm-hmm. uses a bunch of the vinegar pie, for example.
Yes.
You know,
well, because Mom Pa did not have lemons when they were in the big woods. So what did they use? They used vinegar.
Yes.
So they give the quote out of the book when that recipe was used, and then they give a little history and backstory about it. So yes. It's a really fun book, and I've enjoyed it. The other book that I've really loved cooking out of is the Anne of Green Gables cookbook. I know. Oh, right?
You just hit a spot.
So I've got the Anne of Green Gables cookbook and I have the Little House on the Prairie cookbook. And those are just my favorite, close to my heart, childhood memories. I don't know a single woman that I'm friends with that doesn't love those books. And fills you with so much joy to cook from those. And it's a lot of fun because the women that wrote those books put a lot of research into it.
Yes. I cannot tell you the amount of the sitting there watching mm-hmm. Anne of Green Gables.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh.
I've read all the books. It's so much fun. And there's so much joy that they bring to their dishes and the history. And that's all in their cookbook. So I really, really like
that's
it.
So awesome.
So the Flavor Bible was your gift to us, and then I will reciprocate. And I think you'll have a lot of fun practicing the basic recipe and then adding your own Kim twist.
Absolutely. That's what it's all about.
So, Kim, what else do you use for inspiration in your dishes?
Surely you pick some stuff up from TV shows, because I know that just like we do, you're watching all kinds of different Food Network stuff.
Absolutely.
And I was really surprised, actually, Mark, that you hadn't watched the Great British Bake Off.
I do once in a while. I like that. They're always having issues with the weather and stuff. Uh-huh. I mean, that's a tough mm-hmm. thing to do. I mean, well, anytime you're in a non-contained environment, where you have to deal with humidity and temperature mm-hmm. and wind and stuff like that, you're going to have.
So, you know, we have multiple friends who've competed in that British Bake Off.
Really?
Oh, yes. Nancy Judd
mm-hmm.
and Lauren Katz.
Somebody else can't remember off the top of my head right now.
A few others.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And a few others, yeah. So, I mean, yeah. So, in the British Bake Off.
Well, you're always, every time we go to the airport, you're always grabbing, I got to go get a magazine. And then you'll just sit on the plane.
I grab my magazines. That's my favorite thing to do when I'm in an airport. I have to go look at my magazines. Because one, I not only do I look for new inspiration, but I look for my friends who are in mm-hmm. cookie magazines. Because mm-hmm. they all show up in my cookie magazines mm-hmm. every time I look around.
What's your favorite two cooking magazines you like to read?
Okay. So, Taste of Home.
Taste of Home.
Absolutely. And I've been in the Taste of Home magazine the last probably, four times this last year. But what I love the most is this last December 2018, I was with my mom who was passing away. She was on hospice. And she got her last Taste of Home magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Mom, I'm going to open up this magazine because it was in plastic wrap. And I opened it up and I go to the index and I look at this, says the rum.
Spiced eggnog rum cookies.
And my.
Fun Day Sunday
bark. Mm. And they were right beside each other in the index. And it was Mark's dish and my dish. And I got to open up the magazine and show my mom for the very last magazine
mm-hmm.
of her life.
Oh, wow.
Our two dishes.
Wow.
In her very favorite magazine.
Wow.
Yes. I always teased wow. Kim because that was pretty the first awesome. Time that I was ever in a magazine. Yeah, so
it was his first time in a magazine. And
my recipe is... Yeah. You know, 7 pages in front of hers.
Yeah, he did. He did. His first time submission, and he makes it to a magazine. And yes, but I was more overjoyed that we got to share it with my mom.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah, that was pretty cool. Yeah, wow. Her favorite magazine of all times.
I'm so sorry. That's a heartfelt moment. Yeah. And I really appreciate that. But now I have to go to the superficial. Did you get paid for that? Or was it just a submission?
That one was just a submission. Mark was a runner-up and I was a runner-up. So we did not. Very cool. But I will tell you that I have an upcoming one that I was a grand champion or the grand prize winner. And I did get paid on one of the upcoming ones. So yes.
Making money.
I need to take another look. I think it was Sutter Home was doing a burger competition.
Yes.
But that was the big one for the year. It was $25,000. I could not believe how much they were giving away for that.
Oh, our friend Rebecca Evans. And we had so many others. Mm-hmm. $25,000. Absolutely.
Lydia. How can you not?
Yeah. And, absolutely. I mean, just to go for that.
Sure.
And the hard part about that one is if you make it to the finale, and you don't make it to the very end, you don't get to compete again. Mm. You don't get to resubmit. So I guess I'm always out there. I can keep submitting recipes. This year in July, I got to compete at the Gilroy Garlic Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And I was one of the top 8. And I competed there. And I placed 3rd. And so,
congratulations.
Thank you. And because I did not place in the top 2, believe it or not, I get to compete again and not have to wait.
Good.
Mm. So I can compete again the following and not wait. The top 2 have to wait.
So you're going back there next year.
Oh, I would like to. I still have to submit a recipe. And
we both have submissions for this upcoming one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like we drove on the way home.
Here's
we
Mark.
Just spit.
He's, yeah. So on the way home, we're sitting in the car and he's just like, well, I think I want to do this too, but I think I want to do a dessert. Well, what do you want to do?
Garlicky dessert, yeah.
Yeah, wow. Garlic dessert. Well, believe it or not,
the
number one recipe was a tart.
It
was a strawberry garlic tart. That was the number one winning recipe.
Wow.
So, yes.
So when is that festival held?
It was held in July.
July. Mm-hmm. In California.
Mm-hmm. Gilroy, California. Wow. When you're driving down and you get close to Gilroy, you can open up your car windows and you can smell the garlic and you know you're almost there.
Wow.
I'm not kidding you.
I mean, not everybody's.
I'm not kidding you. It's like the coolest thing ever.
Not everybody's going to appreciate that. We do as foodies.
Oh, I did.
The garlic ice cream was killer.
I know.
Really?
Oh,
I'm driving. People kept saying that. You know, got to try that. So I went and had a couple little cones that they hand out free. And I'm just like, oh, man.
That's crazy.
I was just the whole entire time we were there, the whole town smelled like nothing but garlic. But before we even got there, like I said, I turned down the windows of my car. And I knew we were there, and because the garlic was so immense, it was so wonderful.
I wonder if they have a really low rate of flus and infections and illnesses because everything is permeated with garlic.
Well, they don't have any heart problems.
So I do tell you that some of the people that we talk to who live there say they don't smell it anymore.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe they just get used to it.
It's not all year round. It's only during the processing season.
But still, it's just like, oh, my goodness. And we got to meet the most amazing people who run the Gilroy Garlic Festival. And if you've never been there before, that festival is run by nothing but volunteers. And
it's all charity. I think they've given out.
It is charity.
Several million dollars worth of.
This festival has been.
To give the bands in high school this and that. I mean, it all money goes right back into the community.
Absolutely. When you're young, you volunteer and it goes back to all of the athletes or whatever fundraiser it gets. But that's what they do with the money with the Gilroy Garlic Festival.
It was up to $7 million, but it's been going like 40 years or something like that.
Yeah. And it's just amazing. And so it'll hopefully can continue to go and all the volunteers will continue to be able to help and give to the Gilroy Garlic Festival.
Well, it sounds like the actual Disneyland, like, you know,
it's they call garlic it the, Disneyland.
Yeah. They call it the happiest place on earth, but I mean, hey,
it's garlic happy place on earth. It's like,
now, one of the big new ingredients that a lot of chefs are talking about is black garlic.
Yes.
And you sent us home with some black garlic, which we incorporated into chimichurri sauce. We ate some of it just straight, and it has this rich molasses umami flavor.
Sweet
flavor. It's really delicious.
And that chimichurri really ended up being kind of a dish all on its own because we did two different things. The black garlic, we talked about this last year, but we're just telling you guys for your edification. The black garlic we used instead of regular garlic, and then instead of vinegar, we used a 2014 sour ale from New Belgium, and boy, it was that chimichurri was something else.
Lots of layers of flavor.
Yes.
And you know, we said this earlier, try to build layers of flavor into your broth, into your salsas.
Yes.
You know, I back to your oyster dish for your seafood competition, you're using caper salsa.
Yes.
And the first time you told me about this, my mind was blown. Capers in salsa. What a great way.
Capers.
It really brings this new element, a whole new layer of flavor, briny, crispy, toasted capers.
I don't like capers, by the way.
Yeah.
But these are awesome. I'll
when you fry a caper, you can just eat them. Yeah. Right?
And just like pop them. Like,
yeah.
And you get the really big capers that are used in martinis. They blossom open.
Yes.
It was an amazing ingredient.
Yes.
So I was really, really impressed with that.
The saltiness embellishes the tomato.
Yeah, it does.
It does.
The saltiness. Salt on a tomato, so it's...
Yeah.
Here's just the...
You don't have to add any salt.
Yeah, we kind of did the same thing with the crunch that was on the top, with the flavoring of all the crunchiness of our spices that go on the top. I mean, that's got the anchovy paste in there. So you've got that other layer of saltiness on there with that umami flavor. So same kind of thing.
You've got anchovies in the crunch topping. You've got the briny capers that go really well with seafood that's in the salsa. Then, of course, there's the oyster.
Yep.
And then there's
all those layers.
The flavor in the bottom.
Oh, the hot sauce flavoring on the bottom.
Yeah.
That it's a guajillo sauce with garlic and butter.
And the smoked salt. You know,
the smoked salt.
Anywhere you can add another layer, instead of using regular salt, use smoked salt. You know, instead of just using a plain whatever, can you bring another flavor component in to build a base, a firm foundation,
you know what's
to
funny,
help elevate it.
Yeah.
Ava Marie Romero, when we had her on the show, she talked a lot about that, the layering of the flavors and how important that is of, of building on, you know, the building of the eclectic but complementary layers of flavors.
Yes.
And that's the one thing that all of the food sport competitors seem to be able to do really well. And it's something that's underrated, by the way.
Oh, that's so true. Absolutely. Remembering every flavor. I mean, even if we have a sauce that goes on the bottom of the oysters, which is the hot sauce, which has the smoked salt in it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that has its own flavor.
Mm-hmm.
The oyster goes on top of it. The bechamel goes over that. The crunchy topping goes over that. And then that salsa we're talking about with the fried capers on the top of that. It's flavor upon flavor upon flavor.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the things they say too on all the food shows is, besides the flavor, you got to have different textures.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just have all soft in your mouth. You can't have just all hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to have something with a, you know, a little crunch, a little soft, a little this, a little that. So
I know Chinese food, traditionally Chinese food, a lot of that, a lot of times they don't even focus as much on the flavors. They do the texture. So texture. That's definitely a piece of it that you have to keep in mind.
Yeah, you've got your sweet, salty, sour, bitter, and then that crunch, umami flavor. Yeah. And also forget the sense of smell. Mm-hmm. So when are you going to bring in your aromatic herbs and your citrus oils? And so 60% of taste is smell.
I mean, think about all the herbs that we used. I mean, between the tarragon and the cilantro and the garlic and all the things that we use, those are all so aromatic and they play such a great part in all the dishes that we're going to give to the judges.
I think that'll play into next year's competition because they're talking about the X factor or the wow factor. I don't know how that all is going to play into it, but it'll add another component to, you know, how you present your dishes or how you make your flavors and stuff. So that's going to be unique.
So let me throw this out there, you guys. The X factor, the thing that comes to mind whenever people talk about that, especially with talk of the World Food Championships, I'm thinking about, how do I put this? You know, we all have those dishes where it's like, just like mama used to make, or it's got a very home style, or I don't remember what her name is, but there's this, I think it's a Mexican grandma or South American, but I think she's in Mexico, and she just started a YouTube channel where she's cooking very traditional dishes, and it already has like 900,000 viewers or followers on her YouTube channel because she's just doing these very traditional recipes in a very traditional way. They're simplistic, but they're delicious. And of course, we've all had those dishes where it's like, this is an old style dish, but it's being made in just almost a perfect way with exactly the right components and stuff. Where's the X factor in that?
Love. Well,
oh, that's a good question.
We were talking about that on our way home. One of the new recipes I've created, I'm just waiting for a contest to stick it in.
And be careful what you share.
I'm just going to call the name of it is a smoked key lime pie. So somebody's going, well, how in the heck did you, you know, that's the little secret.
Leave it at that.
That's your little wow factor.
You can't just throw the pie in.
I know. I mean, you're just not going to throw the pie in. But no, it's all about the creativity and trying to elevate different levels of stuff. And how can you make it different? I mean, Mark loves to bake. And when it comes to baking, how do you make something different when it's baked? I mean, there's only so many ingredients.
Egg, sugar, water, flour.
Yeah, there's only so many ingredients you can do to things. But yet he turns around and he makes a rum eggnog cookie and submits it to the Taste of Home, and he wins and he gets submitted and wins
published,
a,
yeah.
published his first time around. And it's just like, that's pretty awesome.
I am going to have you come up with a recipe for some kind of a pumpkin spice cookie or cupcake or something for the unofficially official, pardon my fork, pumpkin spice day, yes. October 26th, by the way. We have created an event on Facebook. I want you to go over there and not only join it, but post your findings. Oh, Mark,
you're so in.
Mm-hmm.
We are just looking for the most out of the box, creative, crazy pumpkin spice recipes that you guys could possibly think of. So please go to our Facebook page and put that in there. Pumpkin spice spam. Somebody better do something with that.
Oh, and this is not a fake thing. Tonight, when you guys were cooking, you had some leftover pie crust that was all flattened out.
Yes, you did.
I said, let me go ahead and grab some of that. I sprinkled brown sugar and pumpkin spice on those. Rolled them up into little roses, you know, I don't know if I'd call them cinnamon rolls exactly.
No, they were mini cinnamon rolls.
Well, I did see on Facebook the other day they did have pumpkin spice toilet paper.
Perfect.
I'm like, at least it wasn't sriracha.
Well, you know, Mobile One recently released their pumpkin spice flavored 10W30. So there you go.
Spiced when you go.
No, but I'm dead serious, Mark. I want to see if you've got a pumpkin spice recipe for me, hit me up and we'll put it up on the unofficially official pumpkin spice day.
Could you pumpkin spice deviled eggs?
Ooh.
That's a difficult one. Instead
of paprika. Change it from paprika.
That's a tough, tough one.
We're actually working on a pumpkin spice rib rub right now.
Okay. I can see maybe a sauce that is deep in depth of flavor that just kind of masks the whole thing.
Well, but that's the whole thing. I mean, it's now like, that joke that I always use when it comes to like the chopped type of stuff where there's a tube of toothpaste in the basket and all you're trying to do is mask
the whole tube of toothpaste.
And then the judges say, it's good, but I can't taste the toothpaste. And you had to highlight the ingredients. Mm. We want to highlight the pumpkin spice. So it's going to be a challenge, but we're up for it, man. As a matter of fact, that's why I was telling you earlier that new competition smoker goes all the way up to 450 because I'd really like to throw a pumpkin pie in it, quite frankly.
Yeah, absolutely. Throw a pie in there. Mm-hmm. Smoke it. And actually, let's say, Mark did smoke a key lime pie. On the smoker.
Yeah, in your experimentation.
He put a key lime pie on the smoker.
I'm sure it was okay, but it's probably not as good as what you came up with. Not for very long.
Just to let the surface.
Is killer. People start eating.
Just to let the surface get the smoke.
What is that flavor that I'm
getting? That's what you have to do with the deviled eggs, though.
Then I tell them, and it's like.
Because you don't always think of citrus and smoke.
Right.
Those are not necessarily always together.
Well, but why not? Because when you grill fish, the popular thing these citrus. Days is to put lemon slices down when you grill it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's true. Just because it hasn't been done before doesn't mean it's wrong.
That's the beauty of going back to layering the flavors, right? Because, you know, you could very easily snag some lemons and slice them and then put them on the smoker or char grill them or whatever.
Yeah,
And there's your smoke component. You spread them out over the and pie and there it is.
Yeah, when they're squeezed on top of everything. Yeah.
No,
I'm not saying that's what you did, Mark. I'm just saying, like, there's a lot of different ways to infuse the kind of flavors that you want. It's just finding that way of doing it.
Yes.
Now, once the recipe's published, people go, well, why didn't I think of that?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, man.
Now, at the WFC, there is a new category. Everybody knows that hemp and marijuana are getting legalized in many, many states.
Cannabis, not marijuana. That's a slang term.
There is a cannabis category this
CBD,
year.
CBD.
CBD category.
Yeah.
That is an X factor I did not see coming in Texas.
Yeah, and I don't know how they're going to. How can you judge that? Because most CBD has no flavor. I mean, they infuse flavors into it so that it's palatable. Otherwise, I mean, it's just an oil-based product.
Well, yeah, it tastes awful.
Yeah.
So, you know, CBD has a grassy, herbal flavor. So you're going to want to play to those strengths.
Unless it's already flavored.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I would assume that it's not, though, because, again, they're trying to use that secret ingredient.
Okay.
And what do you use to highlight it?
Is it an oil? Is it a powder? Is it a sugar?
I thought it was like a sugar base or a oil. But I read it, but it probably is. I wasn't interested in it, so it didn't stick in my mind what it was. But I'm thinking some kind of a granulated type.
You could do a lot of desserts and sweets with that.
I mean, when Mike McLeod announced it on Pardon My Fork some months back, I told him that the judges for that category are going to be feeling fantastic. Their joints are going to be great. Their
arthritis is going to be fantastic.
Yeah, they're just going to be like, wow, that trick knee doesn't hurt. What's going on?
If it was the marijuana one, then I was going to open a brownie booth right next door to it.
Girl Scout
this
cookies.
Is yeah. CBD oil. It's not the same.
No. If it was, I'd just open up a brownie store right next door for some Lay's potato chips.
Not the same.
Oh my god.
It's a Munchies taco truck. That'll be good. That's hilarious. That's the X factor I'm kind of curious about for this year. Every year
what they did with it.
They do something new. Now you guys have been going to the World Food Championship. Now this is your fourth year?
No, this is my sixth
year.
I was in Las Vegas in 2014. We did Chile in 2015
in Kissimmee, Florida.
And 3 years in Orange Beach, Alabama in seafood. And this is our sixth year.
My sixth
year in seafood. Your first year in burger.
My fifth year total.
I'm pushing him as I say this. His own category. He's in burger.
Thanks, Nancy Manlove and Sherry Williams. Yeah,
Nancy Manlove and
I'm gonna kill you. No.
So now, Mark, tell the story. How did you get roped into this?
When we were getting ready to move from our house last year, it's like September-ish, taking the dryer apart and disconnecting it to sell it, and Kim brings me the phone and says, "Nancy Manlove has a question for you." I'm like, why would she have a question for me? But maybe it's about Chefarine or something. And she goes, "Are you coming to the contest this year?" "Yep." Are you a grandpa?" "Yeah." She goes, "Well, do you remember the Clash of the Grannies last year?" And I said, "Oh, kind of." She goes, "Well, this year we're doing two grandpas versus two grandmas. And would you like to do it?" And I'm like, "Well, sure, I guess." And it was going to be like you get a $50 Walmart gift card and you had to make something with like 8 ingredients or less in an hour. And you get a barbecue or a plate, hot plate. I'm like, "Oh, okay." And so I went to it and I made a chicken dumpling soup in 45 minutes. So I got this down pat. And so we get there and, "Oh, by the way, we're going to do something different. It's going to be more like a chopped thing." Oh, great. So we don't get the $50 gift certificate. And so then it was like we got there and they had this big table full of vegetables and potatoes and, you know, produce and stuff. And so everybody of the four of us got to go up and take turns picking one item. You ended up getting 5 or 6 items, but you had to take turns. And there might have been 7 tomatoes up there. If you didn't eat all 7, you know, take 2 and let somebody else have it. And then they said, "Okay, now we're going to go over to the refrigeration area, and then you can get your proteins and canned goods." So there was leftover duck, there was leftover burger. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff and canned goods and stuff. And, you know, you're trying to think of what can I make out of this stuff? And I'm thinking, I didn't even bring a can opener, so I'm not taking any canned goods. So I got some chicken, some Hawaiian bread rolls, a couple other things. I'll just make a chicken Caesar salad. And it was kid judges. They were kids, children. Like 9 to 13 years old chefs.
Kid judges.
Kids. And so we get there and then they say, "Oh, okay. Now who's the oldest grandpa and who's the oldest grandma?" So myself and Rebecca Evans raise our hand, switch baskets.
Oh my goodness.
Well, she had picked out some good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I had
Rebecca
crap.
Had the best of
and she's
Rebecca
like,
had
what?
The best of everything.
She's, "Oh man, what'd you give me this junk for? What am I gonna make out of
this?"
Oh,
she called out to you. She yelled to you, "Mark, what did you what do did to you? Me? I mean, she was like,
tell, you know, I couldn't say, well, oh, I was going to make blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. She had to come up with something herself.
She knew.
So I ended up just making, took some garlic and some, she had three different kinds of bell peppers, some onions. There was some, the Arizona hot sauce.
Off of their
Coop's mustard their there. So I just made some little chicken sliders and the kids thought they were great. So
because you made chicken sliders, they automatically put you in the burger category, not sandwich.
I asked them, I said, well, am I going to be in the chicken category or
chicken
the
category got
sandwich
changed?
Yeah.
They did away with the chicken category.
So they said you could pick either one.
Right. So you could opt out to another category.
And so
he picked burger.
Right at the beginning of the year, when they said they opened up the championship, I called him real fast. I said, hey, do I really have to pick, you know, that? And they said, no, you pick whatever you want. And so my brain went to, because my friends own the burger restaurant. I was like, hey, I just won this contest. You guys want to be my sous chefs? So I signed, I think I was the second guy to sign up in burger. So.
And thank the you. Restaurant that your mm-hmm. friends own is Bow and Vine.
Bow mm-hmm. and yep. Vine is
and
right.
The name
and
of our team is the Bovine Boys.
The Bovine Boys.
Oh, yeah.
I like that.
And we ate a Bow and Vine last night.
Yeah, we had a little date night and we ended up swinging by Bow and Vine.
I had the Bow and Vine burger.
And I had the Bell Ringer, which was very good, but the jalapenos were not particularly spicy. Going back to the peppers, it's hit or miss sometimes, you know, especially with jalapenos.
Yeah,
sometimes
absolutely.
They're spicy, sometimes
they're
not.
They can be hot or not.
Yeah, our top 10 dish is off menu from the pat. We had it in the paddy wagon as a specialty burger, and you can ask for it if they have the ingredients. So it's one of their off menu.
Mm-hmm.
And just the name of it is called the Vampire Slayer. So
black garlic. He just told you the secret.
Well, they have really good food. I've eaten there now mm-hmm. two or three times.
It's going to be really weird having the owner of such an upscale burger place losing to a couple of home chefs.
Oh, don't you even.
Throw down.
I like that. You know what? Because you know what? We've been, and here we've been practicing and mm-hmm. doing all this stuff. And it's just like, you're right.
Well, that Marcus, goes back to a lot of the stuff when people ask us, well, how do you guys do that as home cooks? You know, and Kim says, well, sometimes I'm going up against professional restaurateurs mm-hmm. or executive chefs. And, you know, nothing against the executive chefs out there. But I looked up what's an executive chef. Well, that might be the guy that's in charge of the whole place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, he's ordering, he's maintenance, he's scheduling. I mean, you know, and then you get the other guy that's, our, you know, even up at the Willamette Valley Vineyard, who are the professionals and they're doing all the fancy stuff and this, that, and the other. You know, and, you know, sometimes you don't have that time frame to do it in.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it is, for the competition, it's about as level a playing field as you can get.
Yeah.
There are
it is.
A pretty fair amount of home cooks in there.
Yep.
So all the different countries.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, chef is a chef is a chef, maybe.
That's right.
Are you if culinary it's seafood, trained? Or you this or that?
Is it bacon, chili?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. We're all bringing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All the different countries. I mean, all the different people, you're getting such a wide variety. What was it, 12 countries last year?
Yeah,
something
I think
like that.
We're
yeah.
18 or and 20 this year.
The barbecue world champion, Oliver Sievers. Of course, we had him on the show. You can go back and listen to that one. But we actually had five of the world food champions mm-hmm. from 2018 on the show, did a little recap during the summertime, and we're going to be putting links up to that, you know, on the social media and probably on the Facebook page or on the website, even underneath this episode, we're probably going to have some links to that stuff. And of course, while we're at the World Food Championships, we're going to be putting out as much as we possibly can, doing some live videos. Mm-hmm. There's going to be two or three kind of recap episodes. Corey Ann and I plan on doing a lot of recording with a lot of the folks that are there.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, the competitors are very excited to sit down and talk to us.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they will be.
The thing I keep hearing is we'll finally be able to put a face to the voice.
Yes.
I hope they don't fall in love with your beard as much as I do.
No, I think more their voice. His voice.
He has a very comforting voice.
I don't have to hear it. I like his voice.
Well, I appreciate that.
He's like coming home.
It's like I do. I feel like I've come home. I've just kind of rested, relaxed.
And at the end of the day, when you go there.
Yeah. I was like, yeah.
And this will be my fifth
year. There's Andy.
The amount of people you keep seeing year after year. And you only see him once a year.
Yeah.
But when you see him, it's just like old home week.
Yeah.
And Kim would every once in a while say, well, remember so-and-so? And I saw all 1,200 competitors there as a chefery. I can't remember them all, but I think one of my favorites, O-L-E, Nancy Judd. She's just a sweetheart. She always has the glasses around her neck. And four times last year, I can't find my glasses. I can't find my glasses. Well, these right here, Nancy, hanging around your neck or up in your hair or something like that.
Man, it goes to show how stressful and how hectic it is in that kitchen arena. People don't understand. They think, I'd get in there and I would do my whole thing. No. Yeah.
You're just so pumped, and the adrenaline is just coursing through.
Does it make a difference because you've been in there?
I remember the first time we got there, and I'm just jumping up and down, like doing jumping jacks, because you have so much adrenaline.
Where's my station? Where's my
this? Yeah, and you're just flying through, and it was surreal cooking with Suzanne because it gelled so well. It was almost like we've been cooking together for years and years and years.
Yeah.
And you get done, and you're like, wow, two hours flew by.
We did that the same time we met with Rebecca Evans. And I will say in 2015.
At Kissimmee.
We were in Kissimmee. We had never even met Rebecca. I met her over a Facebook. And there was this connection. And we was like, you need sous chefs? Okay, we'll be sous chefs for you.
Met her in a bakery and she told us our duties.
So she comes all prepared. She meets Mark and Casey and I. We meet, we sit in the bakery.
We could have four people.
We sit down and she gives us our duties, and we'd never met before.
That's a big level of trust.
Yeah, that is trust. Exactly. That's a God trust. And she gives us our duties. We sit there the next day, or even that day. Was it next day? We go to cook. We take her to fourth. She gets fourth. And it's just like amazing. And there's nothing better than being able, helping her do that.
Meeting anybody to 2 years later.
But
you guys are jumping up and down on the bed with your checks.
And 2 years later, we're jumping up and down with $10,000 checks on the bed, jumping up and down, her and bacon, meat, and seafood.
Like, oh my word.
And here we are jumping up and down on the bed. And that's what's gonna happen.
You're gonna do it again this year.
They all share this love and passion and this creative outlet of cooking and feeding, and you find friends and you meet people because you're all sharing this one experience. Passion.
It just really is.
And when so many great passions come together with so many creative, eclectic palettes, there's a lot of amazing things that get brewed together and great friendships blossom.
And wonderful ideas.
It's amazing.
Yeah. And then the stuff that happens on the fly, even. I remember last year, boy, you want to talk about putting trust in somebody.
Yeah.
Suzanne put a ridiculous amount of trust in us because, you know, I remember on the burger, like she wanted rings to be cut out of an onion. I started making the thing. I was like, rings are not going to happen. They're going to be sliding all over the place. And I made a last minute decision to dice them. And I just said to her, Suzanne, the rings are not going to work. I'm sorry. I'm going to dice these. And she was like, go for it.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Oh, awesome.
And it went great. It really did.
Oh.
And so the next time we're going to see you is going to be in Dallas, Texas.
I know. It's so coming exciting. So fast.
I know. I can't believe it. We're going to go work.
Are you excited? Are you stressed? Are you all of the above?
All the above. The suitcases are coming out. I have to figure out how we're going to take all this stuff to Dallas with us. Because we have not just me. I have Mark's stuff to take too this year. Yep. So it's two people.
Yeah, but all I need is a flat top, piece of cast iron, and a couple spatulas.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
You're the fry cook.
You just think.
When you think about burger and sandwich, what do you need? Some knives and,
you know, hopeful thinking.
Yep. Yep. Well, you guys, honestly, I can't wait. It's coming around the corner.
I know.
As a matter of fact, as we're recording this, the steak cook-off Grand Champions is happening. I don't know who won. They haven't posted it yet. So I'm sorry you're not getting a shout out on this episode, but whoever it is, congrats. And all of you guys that did the Steak Cook-Off Association Championships this weekend.
Yes.
Congratulations yes. and best of luck
yes.
as we're recording this. And we have one more announcement to make. Pardon My Fork is coming to a close. Let me clarify. Pardon My Fork season one is coming to a close. Corianne and I have decided that we want to make some changes with the show, and I'm very excited about it personally. We're going to make some big changes. We're going to start doing themed weeks. We have decided that we really want to focus in on local ingredients, homegrown ingredients,
seasonal ingredients.
It's something that we keep talking about over and over in these episodes is the availability of certain ingredients. The cost goes way down, and we have so much stuff that's grown around us. It doesn't really matter where you live. You can be in Montana, or you could be in Texas, or you could be in Oregon, or you could be in New Jersey. There are things being grown around you that are specific to your region or grown in a particular way in your region. And we have decided that we want to start highlighting those ingredients with the help of local companies to us.
As long as it has pumpkin spice in it.
Just as long as it has pumpkin spice in it.
So this is actually our last episode of season one.
It is.
And then season two will start with the World Food Championship interviews and all of our podcasts going out that week.
And the format is going to change a little bit too. We want to really start incorporating some of our favorite foods. You know, Meatloaf Monday is very important to me. Taco Tuesday is very important to Corianne.
Taco Tuesday.
Oh,
that's what I'm talking about. Wing Wednesday is going to be sticking around. I love Wing Wednesday.
Thursday.
We've decided to start doing Thirsty Thursday. We want to find a way to incorporate these ingredients into
anything
a drink.
Anything vegan?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, undoubtedly.
Anything vegan? Oh, really?
Yeah, we'll have vegan recipes. We'll do a vegan week.
Okay, vegan.
We'll do
vegan
a vegetarian week.
Okay.
We're kind of
grain
laying
free.
Out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And we're laying out kind of a calendar of events. You know, we want to do this weekly. We want to start doing some videos. We want to start doing some recipes, and we want to start incorporating some of the, you know, media that our friends have. Kim, you have, the Prize of Cooking, and we have a lot of friends that put their stuff out. Rebecca Evans is Rebecca at Home.
Yeah, Rebecca at Home with Rebecca.
Excuse me, yeah, at Home with Rebecca.
And Lisa Keys, mm-hmm. and oh my goodness, there are so many of them. My brain is at a loss right now with mm-hmm. all of our cooking competition people that are just our friends who have wonderful blogs. Oh goodness,
we so these go, recipes coming out of the competition arena.
Yes,
it's hard to beat. It's hard to beat, and we're really excited to be able to work in conjunction with all of these fantastic people.
Yes,
and bring you listeners just the best quality content and recipes and videos. And I do hope that you are following us on the Facebook page at Pardon My Fork and on Instagram at Pardon My Fork. We're going to be having a little extra stuff happening over at pardonmyfork.com. The website's going to get a little revamp, and I really look forward to you guys seeing it, and I want to know what you think. I want to get those reactions. You know, we have a contact us page on Pardon My Fork. You can, of course, always send messages on our social media. I always enjoy hearing from anyone hearing the show, and we always do appreciate the feedback, and we appreciate you guys, Kim and Mark.
Thank you.
You know, having an attitude of gratitude whenever you approach things really helps elevate life and your dishes. So we're very blessed to have met you. You guys are just angels to us. So thank you so much for all of the gifts and the love and the good food. Oh my goodness.
I wouldn't quite say angel with Mark, but I like you.
Thank you.
I'm going to cry.
Thank you. Thank you guys.
So
it's been such a wonderful journey.
Yeah, we're really excited.
Love it.
It's going to be our second year at the World Food Champs. It's going to be your sixth year. And I'll tell you what, anyone competing at the World Food Championships or anyone that's going to be there, we cannot wait to see you. Mm-hmm. And yes. I hope you reach
everyone,
out to us.
Everyone.
We're going to have our shirts on that say, pardon my fork. We've got some fantastic sponsors that have been helping us out to make this whole thing happen. And I really look forward to announcing them. And we're going to have them on the shirt. We're going to be talking about their wonderful products all week long. And I'm really excited to be able to bring that to you guys. So Kim and Mark, once again, thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And for Kim and Mark and for Corianne, thank you, hun.
You're welcome, baby.
Corianne, thank you for all the time in the kitchen.
You're welcome.
Oh my goodness.
This is Andy, and we will see you next time.